I'm joined by Adam Beasley, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. All right, Adam, let's start with the first bit of news. Defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, now the head coach for the Denver Broncos. What does that mean for Miami, and who's going to replace him?
Well, the short answer is probably Matt Burke, a linebackers coach who had followed Vance from Cincinnati. Obviously, he has familiarity with the system. They're not going to change much. We got to talk with Adam Gase on Wednesday, and he said he wants to have a Miami Dolphins defense, not a system that changes with every coordinator. So that's probably who's going to replace Vance Joseph. The reason he got the job certainly wasn't because of the great work he did in 2016. Obviously, he was dealing from a short deck. Dolphins were really bereft of talent on the defensive side of the ball, but they were 29th in yards. They gave up the most yards in franchise history. They gave up 30 points in four of the last six games, and obviously they got blown out in the last two games they played. So I think Vance's familiarity with Denver from 2 years ago, we interviewed then, gave him the inside track. I think he was their man all along.
All right, let's look back at this year, and I want to know, what did you really expect from this team, and how would you rate the season as a whole?
Well, I predicted 8-8 in our preseason preview section, and I thought that was being ambitious. I thought I was doing the Dolphins a favor because I really thought it could be another 6-10 team. You looked at the roster, and there are some serious holes. And to be truthful, those holes still exist. They didn't change. What changed was the Dolphins made plays at the end of games that they hadn't in years past. I think the stat was they won on five game-winning touchdowns five different ways. They were clutch this year. They really were. They made the plays they had to at the end of games. The question is that sustainable? Can you have such a lopsided discrepancy in first downs and yards and points even? They were outscored this season and continue to win games. The numbers geeks would say no. I mean, they would say that this was an anomaly. Variance would be what they would call it. And at some point, the Dolphins will regress to the mean. The good news for the Dolphins is this. They have an entire offseason to get better. They have a lot of cap space. They should probably have over $50 million to work with. They have pretty much all their draft picks. They lost their third rounder in a trade from last year, but they'll get it back from a compensatory pick. So they'll have a lot of ammunition to go and attack this offseason. The question is, what will Mike Tannenbaum do with all those assets?
All right, what was it, though, that turned the team around? Because by week five, they had only one victory. They looked terrible. There was a lot of talk about, well, Tannehill's got to go. Maybe Gase is not the right coach. Everything looked terrible. And then all of a sudden, they started winning, and then they got into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, the short answer is Adam Gase is a really good football coach. I mean, he had them. He was pushing the right buttons, so to speak. And I think the first domino to fall, to mix my metaphors, was when he cut three offensive linemen the 2 days after that Titans debacle. I mean, their offensive line was terrible, so he cut Billy Turner, Dallas Thomas, and Jameel Douglas all in one fell swoop and brought in some fresh blood, changed the lineup around, and it served two purposes. One, it got bad players off the roster, which is always a good thing. And two, it put the rest of his team on notice. This is unacceptable. If we continue to play this way, you'll be gone either sooner or later. And I think they got the message.
I want to go back to last week's game against the Steelers. The moment when quarterback Matt Moore took a really nasty hit to the head, it looked like he was going to be out. Now, the league's got concussion protocols, but Moore was back out on the field immediately. And I'm just curious, what happened on the sidelines, and could the team face any backlash from the league?
Well, yeah, they're going to look into it. The NFL, the NFLPA have both launched independent inquiries into whether or not the Dolphins followed the concussion protocol. Obviously, this is a hot button issue in the NFL. The prevalence of CTE among former players, and the awful ends of their lives that come about this terrible disease, has really motivated the league. And certainly, the concussion lawsuit has played a role too. But it certainly motivated the league to take this seriously. And from an outsider's standpoint, the night of the game or the day of the game, you saw that hit, and it was vicious. It was right under the chin. Bud Dupree will absolutely be fined for that hit. Matt Moore is laid flat in his back for 2-3 minutes. basically wasn't moving. Anyone who saw that hit would say that's concussion. I mean, it's tailor made. It's you can't have any of the more of the external symptoms from an outsider's point of view. Obviously, we didn't do the neurological exam, but just the way he was woozy, slow to get up. He said he was kind of looking for his teeth after that hit. You thought he had a concussion, and then boom, he's back in the game after just missing one snap. I think from the time he took the hit to the time he returned to the field was something like 4 or 5 minutes. You thought, nah, something can't be right. This is a playoff game. Are they rushing this guy back into action? The Dolphins insist that is not the case. They insist that he went through both their team neurological exam and the NFL or the independent consultant that is on all NFL sidelines. He cleared him play as well. It was just a really ugly hit, they say. We've since spoken to Matt Moore's representative. His agent said he's suffered no concussion symptoms, and he trusts the process. He believes the Dolphins did right by his client. We'll soon find out if the league feels the same. But certainly, if the Dolphins are found to have skirted the rules, which I don't believe to be the case, but if they are, they certainly would be in line for some sort of sanction.
All right, you mentioned the draft, and the Dolphins have a lot of money to play with, but mention maybe a couple of positions where the Dolphins really need a lot of help, and who might they go after?
Well, I would say take a dart, put up a dartboard, and put all the positions of defense on, throw on a blindfold and throw the dart, and you'd help the team. You would upgrade. I mean, aside from defensive tackle, and Ndamukong Suh's a great player, Cam Wake, even at age 34 at defensive end, an excellent player, and they'll get Rashad Jones back. Aside from that, they could use help pretty much everywhere. I think they believe they're okay at corner. But they'd certainly take more depth and defensive tackle, defensive end, and the entire linebacker core could use an upgrade. So you're going to see the Dolphins be very aggressive, both in free agency and the draft, trying to improve that defense. They just had no chance. Look, that was the fourth worst statistical defense to go to the playoffs since the league expanded to 16 games in the late 1970s. It was an historically bad defense, and those defenses usually get run in the playoffs, and that's what happens with the Dolphins.
Dolphin fans have been disappointed for years. Without making any predictions, and as a Dolphin fan myself, I'm just curious, has this team turned the corner? Is it a team that we could feel good about again, that it's going to be competitive again?
Couple of things. One, you should feel good because the coach is in place. This is a guy that from top to bottom of the organization, from Steve Ross to the last guy on the roster, all believes in him, all believes he's the guy to get them to the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl. However, you need talent to do that. And as I mentioned, there's a deficiency on the defensive side of the football of talent. And it might take a bit. It might take a minute. They might regress, standings-wise, record-wise, in 2017. They could go 7-9 or 8-8 and be a better team just because they didn't get the breaks they got this year. But long-term, they're building this franchise the right way. I would say in 2, if not 3 years, this is the team that will consistently compete for the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl.
Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Adam, I guess what? Next time we talk, the draft in April, right?
Yeah, give me 3 months off. How's that sound?